Blog Talk Radio.
Black free thinkers, where we walk by sight with a bright flashlight to illuminate night. Free thought, we don't walk by faith in the lost mind state, cause it's not quite safe. We don't recruit, we're not peers from a church, so don't be spooked, we're not here to convert. The only truth is not pulled from a text. Show me proof that's not good after death. This is the challenge to think for yourself. Break it out of the bottle and speak what you felt. 310-982-4273 to get through. A venue for community and this is the zone. If you'd like to speak with Kim, then pick up the phone. 310-982-4273 to get through. The next tree branch is Rainer and it's best you listen to. Reason, science, and skepticism. It's loaded with straight facts, inspiring and dope. She can make Bill Nye retire with lab coat. Humans are hilarious, and every other Friday I'd like to hear commentary on culture, people. So I hit up Super Mario and bring in Emmeline to discuss why we're capable of ultra evil. It's normal for my brain to have a two-way street, but if there's collisions, well then you got to just mention it. And don't be afraid of where the truth may lead, ignoring your position of cognitive dissonance. When Father Teresa preaches, it's hard to stop. So Kim paired me up with Alfred in the barbershop. I have extended family in all these places now, as the free thought tree pollinates around. Yeah. This is the challenge to think for yourself. Break it out of the bottle and speak what you felt. 310-982-4273 to get through. A venue for community and this is the zone. If you'd like to speak with Kim, then pick up the phone. 310-982-4273 to get through. Black precinct, where we walk by sight with a bright flashlight to illuminate night. We don't walk by faith in a lost mind state, cause it's not quite safe.
Well, that means it's Friday again, and I'm back. I'm online here to rant and rave and talk a bunch of shit about, well, what we're talking about tonight. I think we're talking about atheist Bible study, talking about scriptures that they normally don't talk about in the Bible. And I got the matriarch of this whole thing holding it down with me. It's Kim. How you doing?
Hey, doing just fine. Having a lovely evening. Welcome, everybody. This is Black Freethinkers, and our host tonight is Mr. Mario. And we are here to challenge you to think and live for yourself, not convert you. This should be a fun show.
Yeah. I got some, I got a few things, saying rants, but, normally how I do is just go off into a tangent, go off into a rage, and hopefully some of this shit makes sense, and we're doing our job.
That's what it's all about. We're not mocking Christians, if you will. We're just showing them that, in some cases, it's like walking through your favorite cafeteria. You're just like picking out the parts that you do like and leaving behind the parts that you don't. So why, we're going to celebrate some scriptures that are forgotten just in case you didn't see them. That's what it is. We're trying
exactly.
To help you.
Right on. because I don't want to come up like my whole mission in life is to bash Christians or anybody like that. I have a lot of Christian friends and whatnot. And generally, I have no problem with them. Most of them are not the hardliner, super believer type that just, just rattle off scripture and think that, okay, this solves everything. Most of them, to me, most of them come off more as agnostic than anything, but,
Right.
What can I say,
Exactly. And that's why it's important for us to come in and, you know, shed some humor on it and, you know, again, you know, define some terminology for them, answer some questions, and, you know, try to be as kind and compassionate as possible.
Yep. You know, sometimes it kind of makes it a little hard to share the link for the show when people don't want to click the link and read the description and figure out when the show is and stuff like that. You got to explain it to them anyway. So, one of the first things, have you been watching this, the Bible series on History Channel?
I tried. You know, I was watching it and I'm just sitting there and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, they spent all of this money on this depiction, on this series or what have you, because that's not the only one. They have several more to go. They spent all of that money on this, and number one, it's not accurate. Number two, exactly. And number two, you know, whatever happened to being a good steward over the money? Why aren't they using, well, I mean, but that's me and my thing. You know, I just feel as though, you know, they should stick to the particular scriptures in which Jesus told that rich man to sell all his possessions and give it to the poor. You know, they skipped that scripture. Let's start in. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's really it's an incredible thing because I'm watching it. It starts off with kind of a montage of I want to say Noah going through all the things, all the, you know, the things, you know, that happened in the 7 days and stuff, which I'm not even certain how he knew about that. But anyway, and, you know, it seems to me like, I mean, it's well done, especially for a TV show. You know, the CGI and stuff is very well done. It is well acted. But the thing about it is it comes off like the director of Lord of the Rings all of a sudden became a Christian and decided to direct this book, the Bible, because you would think History Channel would come to this with a historical perspective, but given the fact that I keep seeing these Christian commercials all over this show and everything like that, and I guess they sponsored it or something like that, you know, it really doesn't seem like there is any attempt at any type of historical accuracy, more like just telling the stories of the Bible and pleasing these people who are, I mean, this show is getting a lot of ratings.
Yes. Yes, they're getting high ratings and, you know, no, it's not being accurate. But again, it's all about money. That's what all of this boils down to. So while people remain in that particular mindset in which they believe that, you know, these stories are true, then they will continue tuning into that, and these Christian, you know, producers and movie makers and directors and, you know, the ones that are, you know, hucking their goods, if you will, the ones selling their products, they're making money. I mean, people sitting there watching it, you know, you have your ratings, and they're getting the ratings and the commercials. People are seeing that. They get paid for that. So, again, it's about money. So I guess I need to look it up, and I need to know any profits made from this particular series. What do these Christians plan to do with some of that money? Are they going to give a percentage of it to charity? And I'm not talking about going over to Africa or Cambodia or any of those other countries, which is a good thing. Nothing against them. You know, they need help too. You know, but what about here? But I mean, you know, even if they didn't drop a dime here, if they send the money over to these third world countries, my question is, you know, what are you doing with the money? Show us some progress. You know, one thing I can say about one particular pastor who I won't call out, he goes over there and they install wells and water pumps to give them fresh water. And while that may not seem like a lot to some people, you know, some of these people, you know, they don't have fresh water and, again, diseases and things like that. So it's important.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that, you know, that, I mean, first of all, I mean, I'm sorry, man, but I got to rant a little bit because I'm looking at this, and there is, as far as I know, I have, you know, the Bible takes place in pretty much, you know, a kind of defined geographical area, you know,
mm-hmm.
most of it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There are, as far as I have read in the Bible, and as far as anything I've ever seen depicted, there are no blacks or Asians in these, you know, in these areas. Yet, coming to Abraham is an Asian angel, and a black angel. You know, just there's no other black dudes around, and all of a sudden there's a black angel.
But you know what? Some people can look at it and say, are we ever happy? They're celebrating diversity. But, I mean, I understand about the historical accuracy. But, you know, in the story of Moses, you know, in that particular story, Moses was allegedly married to an Ethiopian woman. And, you know, his sister and I believe his brother had a problem with the fact that he was married to that Ethiopian woman, and they talked about them badly, talked about her and talked about him. And, you know, that's another one of the little tragic stories in the Bible. But I know what you're saying, but from my understanding, you know, angels, you know, do not have human features or something to that effect. There are some, because you have your different types of angels, you know, your Nephilim, your Seraphim, and all of that. But, no, I understand what you're saying, but none of it makes sense. I mean, let's just put it where it is.
And the Asian angel is a certified ninja, okay? There is – he does some ninja shit in this show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's laughable how they depict it, because they clearly skip a lot of stuff that, you know, well, we don't want to have to answer questions about this. We're going to skip over that. But at the same time, you know, it to me, it raises more questions about a lot of things, you know. And I guess some of those things we might inadvertently end up getting into tonight. I've always been, you know, I've never been a hardcore Christian. When I was growing up, I started off Baptist, and my grandmother took on Jehovah's Witness, and so I kind of studied with them a little bit. A friend of mine was Baptist, became non-denominational. He tried to get me in with them. I almost fell into, I guess these guys were Nwabian or nationalists, but
uh-huh.
they didn't want to tell me who they were or what they were. They said I had to keep coming, which to me
right.
means either you don't know what the hell y'all are, or I don't need to know what the hell y'all are, because you don't even want to tell me.
Well, now, you missed the Sunday when they told it. See, that's what happened. That's why you can't miss any services, dude, because you're going to miss something. Okay.
Yeah. And so I actually started reading the Bible, you know, kind of offhandedly, just to see what am I missing here, what am I losing out on, you know. And so immediately, you know, some of the more well-known scriptures I read, you know, immediately I'm notating in my Bible, like, okay, why and what the fuck, and okay, well, how did you end up with these people? And you know, and that's kind of like when I'm watching the show, and it's like, we just jump, and there's a whole lot of people on the planet. And I'm like, hold on a second. My arithmetic isn't the best thing in the world, but from two people, we get enough people that you have separate civilizations that are miles apart from each other and have fully set up cities, trade, and industry in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a short amount of time. We're talking about, you know what I'm saying, we're talking about it took thousands of years to migrate farther out of Africa, but according to the Bible and according to the show, it didn't take long to establish all these different civilizations, different cities,
right.
different cultures,
mm-hmm.
different customs in different areas, enough that you have rivalries and stuff like that. And to me, you know, because I'm the type of person who asks questions, that makes me ask
mm-hmm.
more questions. You know, and that's what I was thinking of in the Bible. I'm like, when I'm asking, like,
right.
like Cain runs off to marry somebody, who the hell was that? And what
right.
city did he run to? Because
Yeah, who did they run to? But let's just say hypothetically, you know, let's just say if it was, you know, a sister or something like, wouldn't that make all the characters in the Bible cousins?
Right. Right, right, because, you know.
I can't just have too much time on my hands to think about things like this, but wouldn't that make them cousins, most of those people?
Right, right. You know, it's, it's a thing, you know, and I even get people who will tell me, well, you're not reading the right version of the Bible. You got to read this version. And it's like, okay, now how do you know your version is right? If there's, you know, if there are
right.
five versions of the same story, how are you going to tell me your version is correct? You know
oh,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, but exactly. And then they tell us we're taking it out of context. But then when you ask them to put it in the proper context, in some cases they don't have any answers, or they'll say, well, most people would agree with your interpretation, but, you know, I have a different interpretation. And I say, okay, so what is your interpretation? Well, I don't want to talk about that right now. Well, why did you bring it up?
Right, right. I even fell into a debate, you know, in which, you know, and not until I attend, you know, I don't debate anymore. You know, I really don't, you know. I really don't have a need to. When I first came out the box, I was trying to flex my knowledge and show, you know, my different interpretations, you know, of what I've read and everything like that. Now I'm really much more mellow. And the only time I really end up into a debate is with someone who just really is trying to just be obnoxious for no reason. And
right.
so my, you know, apparently there's these two gay guys who started their own church and everything, and these people are not going to go to the church. And everything, and this isn't the first time this was posted, so and I've seen these before, you know, I've seen them in several areas on Facebook and several different
right.
groups by several different people, so it's not really a big deal, but the general consensus is we're not going to go, and it's like,
uh-huh.
well, I'm thinking, and I'm playing devil's advocate, if God's word is more important than the messenger, then why are you concerned about who is delivering it? And everything. If the messenger makes a, if the messenger makes such, go ahead.
No, go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
If the messenger makes such a big deal to you, if the messenger makes such a big deal to you, to the point where you can decide who you want to hear God's word, who is more powerful than the messenger who is delivering the message, if you can decide who you want to hear it from, then if you're using an Apple device, an atheist-grade
mm-hmm.
device. On an atheist-created medium, then isn't it kind of defeating the purpose of arguing about who is delivering the message then?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm about to eat this up real quick, so just bear with me. You know, they're saying they're not going to go to that church because the leadership are, you know, homosexuals, bisexuals, part of the LGBTQIA community. So they're not going to go to that church because, you know, they don't believe in that particular messenger. Yet, these same people, some of these people are the same people telling us not to judge Creflo, not to judge Eddie Long, not to judge Wiley or, you know, any of these other pastors that have, quote-unquote, had accidents, and they should be forgiven, and touch not mine anointed, and judge not lest ye be judged. See, that's only applicable when it comes to the popular pastors and the pastors that they enjoy. However, when it's someone out here that genuinely believe that they've been called by God to deliver a message and to, if you will, set the captives free, meaning in this particular case, showing the LGBTQ community that they can, you know, have a life in ministry and preach the gospel of love, if you will, to people without the judgment and the derision and the mocking and the ridicule from the traditional church. Because, see, you know, these people are taking a chance putting themselves out there like that. Now, while I may not believe in the doctrine or the dogma, I give them credit for standing up, you know, to the courage of their, you know, convictions. But I find it rather ironic and hypocritical that these other so-called Christians, again, picking and choosing which particular pastors are, you know, God-chosen. You know, Scripture says that, you know, many have come, but few are chosen. Correct? And
mm-hmm.
what I find interesting is now they're picking and choosing who exactly was chosen. How do they know? You know, but again, you know, the way that I see it is I see these people, you know, bucking the system, because even after tonight's show, I'm going to go to a Google Hangout for some, you know, Christian feminists, which proved to be extremely interesting. But the reason why I don't get upset or angry when I see things like that, or even seeing Christians mock these particular genres here, is because anytime I see any of them bucking the system and going against the grain or the traditional, to me, that's a step closer. They're getting closer and closer to kind of opening their eyes and figuring this out, which is why I don't get upset, and which is why I just feel that we kind of have to look at some of this stuff from a different perspective. Sorry, Mario, didn't mean to run with that.
No, it's fine. It's fine. And that's kind of one of the reasons why we do the show, you know. I'm pretty much certain that anything I say, especially with regards to the scriptures that I'm going to rattle off tonight, are going to be said to be taken out of context, or I didn't read it right, or that's the wrong interpretation, or that's the wrong translation, or something like that. Hey, have it the way you want to. I didn't write the Bible. If somebody says, hey, that shoe is red, I'm going to say, hey, that shoe is red, okay? If you want me to interpret that as something completely different, then write it the way you want it to be observed or interpreted. Don't write something cryptic and then get mad at the reader for how he took what you wrote down. So if you have a problem with the scriptures, you have to take it up with the authors if you can find out who they are.
Right.
Now,
right. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, you know, it was interesting. When I used to go to church, there were certain things that would get my attention. And I believe it was Sinbad or another one of those comedians that, you know, was up there telling their jokes, and they basically said that they didn't enjoy going to church until one time they sat behind the mothers and they heard the mothers of the church cutting up and cussing. And then after that, they wanted to go to church all the time. And I was one of those kids. I would catch people doing some crazy stuff. And in addition to that, I would find different scriptures in the Bible. And I'll give you one in particular, Philippians 3 and 8. And this is Paul speaking. And he says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Rubbish, when you do the translation on this, rubbish means shit. So Paul was cussing. And I can give you several more scriptures in which he was cussing. But, yeah, once I started looking that up, because I was all in my mother's concordance, and I found out it was cussing, oh, yeah, the Bible became a lot more exciting to me at that point.
It definitely became exciting to me, too. You know, one of the scriptures that that had me kind of like, what the hell is going on? All right, is when, you know, this is 2 Kings chapter 2, 23-24. And this is from the NKJV. You can look at any one of them you want to, and I'm pretty sure it's going to say generally the same thing anyway. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and then he was going up the road. Some youth came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Now, let's make sure we understand this, all right? There are some brats picking on this dude for being baldhead. And I can kind of sympathize with that because I'm bald myself. You know, I can understand his hurt feelings at that. He then cursed them in the name of the Lord, or call the curse upon the Lord, however you want to interpret that. And two bears out of nowhere, female bears, just appeared out of nowhere and ripped apart 42 children.
And that's not considered abuse? That's not considered abuse?
Right.
Can you imagine if we were able to do that now? I mean, I think we'd all be dead, because I think we've all said some things.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, but the she-bears. Didn't it have to be she-bears? Why did it have to be female bears?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I that was another thing. Why does the sex of the bears matter? I mean,
I have no idea. 42 children. How did two bears tear apart 42 children? You know, kids are fast. You know, like,
right.
You all have children or nieces and nephews. If you've ever tried to get anything away from those kids from the time they turn one up until you know, the time they leave home, you cannot catch those kids unless you just happen to catch one arm before they run away from you. But
Yeah, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, it said some use. And then he said, then at the end it said the two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths, meaning there were more than 42 out there, but 42 mm-hmm. of them didn't make it. And it's like two bears, and did the kids stand there? Because I'm imagining they would have scattered at this whole, or the two ferocious bears ripping apart, and you just, kids running everywhere. And it's like, okay, there are a lot of families who are going to be missing some kids and won't know why. This kid's kind of funny, but I like it. Just for picking on this dude, I mean, how many times have someone pissed you off to the point where you wish you could do something to them? And this whole time, you could have probably called on some she-bears to come rip them apart. I mean, it would have solved the whole thing.
But, I mean, 42-plus children, was it some type of field trip or something? You know, why didn't he call the law? Because, you know, he could have had them charged with mob action. You know, what's that about?
Exactly.
You know, a gang of children. I guess that was the beginning, the formation of gangs, right?
Right.
You know, it's the whole thing is interesting. You know, you have to find the humor in it. And I remember, you know, having one of those children Bibles that had all the pictures and stuff, and it used to terrify me, sitting there looking at those pictures and wondering why all these things, in this particular, this story, you know, you saw the bears and you saw the look of terror on the kids' eyes, you know, made you scared to go to the zoo.
Yeah. I mean, it's a trip, you know. Inherently, most of these scriptures are probably going to come from the OT. If you are, I don't think there's any Christians listening to this show. I mean, there were a few guests on the line, but they dropped off. So I'm imagining, you know, maybe they were. But anyway, if you are a devotee of either the OT or the ENT or the whole thing and everything like that, I'm pretty sure if you look hard enough, you can find a lot, some jacked up scriptures all through the Bible, not just the OT. And the OT is still relevant. You know, you can't say half the Bible is irrelevant. All right. So check this out now. All right. Now, this is the one that really had me going like, okay, now how does this happen? All right. First Samuel 18:25-27. Then Saul said, "Thus shall you say to David, the king desires no bride price except the 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Then he may be avenged of the king's enemies. Now Saul thought that to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines, and when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to the king to be the king's son-in-law. Before the time had expired, David arose and went, and along with his men, and killed 200 of the Philistines, and David brought back their foreskins, which were given in full numbers to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him his daughter, Michelle or Michael, for a wife." Now, there is hilarity all through that, because I can imagine sitting there thinking, there's no way in the hell this dude is going to accomplish this task. I'm going to give him the most absurd shit I can think of. Go find 100 guys. Cut off the tip of their dick and bring it back to me. There's no way he can do this. Not only does he go do it, but he comes back with twice the number you asked him for. Can you imagine having to pick your face up off the floor? Like,
Right.
I mean, who is the sicker bastard in this story? The guy who thought of the idea thinking he couldn't do it, or the guy who not only did it, but he doubled the number?
sounds like an overachiever to me, but go ahead. Show off. Show off. You know? But you know, the thing is, you got to have all kinds of scriptures like that. But I mean, okay, again, you know, I'm going to assume that these guys had already, well, no, they were Philistines. So, yeah, they had not been circumcised before. And this guy went around circumcising people. You know, I guess the question would be, you know, why did these guys stop and let him do that? Unless, you know, see, it's part of the story missing. You know, were they converted and saved by grace? I missed that part.
Well, you know, see, I think he killed them first because it said, yeah, and killed 200 of the Philistines. So, yeah, he killed, I mean, I guess, so I would hope that he killed them before he cut the fourth man off. But I guess it would be easier. I mean, it's like, okay, now that you, a guy walks in with a bag containing 200 foreskin, what do you do with them now?
I have no idea. I mean, you can't make pork rinds out of them, so, I mean, kind of. So I'm not sure what he was doing with them. So it's just strange. And, I mean, you know, as homophobic as they try to portray those people in the Bible, you know, as homophobic as they try to portray them, you know, what does it look like, him going around to 200 men and, you know, touching their nether regions and cutting stuff off? I mean,
yeah.
Who got sick pleasure out of that?
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, just to have to explain that to your kids. You know how I got your mom? Yeah, I cut off the tips of 200 guys' dicks, man. You know, that's love right there, man.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, check it out. Here we go. I'm going to give my another wonderful scripture here. And this would be Ezekiel 23:19-20. And I'm going to read, you know, an updated version. It says, "Yet she increased her prostitution, remembering the days of her youth when she engaged in prostitution in the land of Egypt. She lusted after their genitals, as large as those of donkeys, and their seminal emission was as strong as that of stallions." So,
damn.
You know,
damn.
I don't know. You know, if you hung like a damn horse or a donkey, you know, no. You go now. I mean, you know, when you look at some of this, you know, why don't they preach that? In the Song of Solomon, it's nothing but porn, but go ahead, soft porn.
I sure as hell didn't know that was at the door.
But, yeah, looking at all of this, you know, it's just the whole thing. It's interesting. You know, it's like, you know, they skip over certain scriptures, and, you know, I just find it, you know, it's interesting. You know, you were talking about the New Testament. I'll give you another one, and this is coming from the New Living Translation. In Matthew 6:19, it basically tells you don't save your money. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. It also tells you not to plan for the future. In Matthew 6:34, it says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself." Isn't that the mentality of a lot of people in religion? Not all of them, but, you know, some that I know. They don't save their money and they're not planning for the future because they plan to be raptured up. And they got it from Scripture.
What is it? You know, that is, I mean, so what is the point of prosperity gospel then if you, See, you know, that's pretty damn funny. I don't even think
prosperity gospel, see, that's the trick. They preach the prosperity gospel so you can get money now and give them money now so that your treasures and your mansion will be in heaven waiting on you. you know, just sitting there waiting on you, but then they don't talk about Ecclesiastes 9 and 5. And this is the NIV version, and in Ecclesiastes 9 and 5 it says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten." They skip that scripture too.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's insane. Yeah. All right, now imagine this now. Now, your brother has a wife, right? And some dude comes up the street and starts messing with him, and they get messing with your brother. And the guys get into a fight. His wife runs out to try to help him out, and she ends up grabbing the guy by the nuts,
right,
to help to get him off her husband, your brother. Now, his job, according to Deuteronomy 25:11-12, is to cut off her hand for saving him. See, I'm gonna read it to you verbatim.
Right.
And this is the KJV, whatever. "When men strive together one with another," I guess that means fighting, "and the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that look, I'm just gonna read the other one because I ain't got time for all that. If two men, a man and his countrymen, are struggling together, and the wife comes near to deliver her husband from the hand of the one who is striking him, and puts her hand and seizes his genitals, then you shall cut off her hand. You shall not show pity." So you're gonna dismember your wife's hand for saving you from getting your ass kicked.
Oh, that's because she touched another man.
Right.
See, it's okay if he touches another woman, but it's not okay if she touches another man.
Right.
I mean, she can even sleep with your brother after you die, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I read that, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that makes no sense. She's coming out to help defend her husband, but she's not supposed to do that. It's, you know, just looking at all of this, but again, you know, it's not mocking anybody's, you know, religion or anything, but, you know, these are some interesting verses in the Bible, and again, you're probably going to say that we're taking it out of context, and so we invite you all to call in to put it in a proper context. Telephone is 310-982-4273 to get through. Hey, William, 310-982-4273 to get through.
Yeah, and press the 1 so I know that you're flagged out, because sometimes I'll stop looking at the board and everything. And once again, you know, I can't help it if you're offended by this because I didn't write it. So, you know, but so to bear that in mind, but if you want to call and tell me how I'm wrong for what I'm reading, you know, I mean, it's too bad we can't, you know, take that up with the authors, but, you know, they're dead, so...
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and since, you know, we were talking about the prosperity gospel, let me give you another scripture that they like to use, Luke 14:33. Well, this is not one that they use. This is the one that they skip, but they're kind of saying this to you. And in Luke 14:33, it says, "So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions."
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah. Right. And at the same time, there's a guy right now whose job it is to tell you things that you can read at your leisure at any time you want to, who has a private jet.
Right. Exactly. You know, has a private jet, gets a tax write-off for that. And for many of the people that they employ at the church, what I find interesting is they get a tax write-off for that as well. So not only are they paying you pennies, the government is subsidizing the salaries of many of the people that work at the church. And here's a little church secret that many people don't know, is that with 501c3s, in particular churches, they do not pay Social Security taxes on those people. So when they retire from the church and they attempt to get Social Security, there's nothing there. And many of these churches do not offer a pension plan, so there's nothing there. So literally, they have followed this, even some of these scriptures. They gave away everything that they owned, you know, thinking that they were working for the church and, you know, being a willing worker. You know, and again, they're paying, in some cases, paying the people next to nothing. So again, you know, they don't have any money to save up. But if, even if they did have money saved up in church, they would find some kind of way to have some type of anniversary, some type of Bible, some type of conference, something to always take your money from you.
I remember going to church and having to put the tithes in the little thing and everything like that. And, you know, this one church, last time I went to church was a few years ago. I mean, it was less than 6-7 years ago. And the lady who wanted me to go was somebody I was dating at the time. So at the time, I didn't know if I was an atheist. No, I just knew that I didn't believe in the Bible. I thought the Bible was bullshit at the time because I had started reading it. And
right.
We went to this church down here in Macon, and they passed around three collection plates. One was for the normal tithes. One was supposed to be for some type of trip they were trying to take. And there was one specifically for the pastor who sat up there on the stage in this immaculate suit, and he had the most – he had a gangster lean like it wasn't nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like – he was just sitting there pimped out, and they kept having somebody come up there and pretty much sing this guy's praises and whatnot. And it's like they're passing around. I mean, and this is a good-sized church in this area, so I'm imagining there's going to be several thousand dollars in that plate,
mm-hmm.
and specifically for him. You know, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if the deity that you worship was poor, why do you need to be rich to revere that deity? You know what I'm saying? I don't get that.
Exactly. Well, you know, it says that, you know, that basically, you know, God has, like, you know, that he's rich and, you know, the cattle on 1,000 hills and a whole bunch of other scriptures to justify and to, you know, tell you about the riches that he has, you know. But, of course, you can't see these riches because they're waiting for you on the other side. I mean, it's smoke and mirrors, you know, it's bait and switch.
Right.
You give me your money now and you'll have all your riches after you die. Even after you show them the scripture, you know, in Ecclesiastes, that, you know, the dead will know nothing, and they have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. You know, what more, I mean, it says this is your Bible, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole thing is the smoke and mirrors, and, you know, again, you know, what Mark Twain says, something about, you know, the church began, or something to the effect when, you know, the first con man met the first fool, or something to that effect. And it's interesting just looking at all of that, but I feel bad that people are being taken advantage of, that some of these people have lost hope, that, you know, they're desperate in some cases, and these people are exploiting that and manipulating them. And so that's
what?
Why I don't really get upset about a lot of the churchgoers, you know, very much anymore. I don't get upset with them. You know, I get upset about them because of the way that I feel that they're being treated. But, you know, I've taken a much softer approach when dealing with Christians.
Yeah. A lot, you know, and I was kind of hard-edged myself, and it took meeting a lot of really cool people who did believe differently from me that kind of really softened me up, too. And now, basically, my focus really is, you know, I mean, when I see shit in the Bible that makes no sense, and then the people who use the Bible as a reason for their homophobia, and, you know, hardliners and stuff like that. That's normally where I try to divert my attention, you know, because those people make good debaters. I mean, when you get somebody to justify rape, you know you're having a great time. But in relation to what you just said, here's another scripture. It's James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, doesn't that go back to that prayer healing?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
mm-hmm.
that kind of contribute to that? Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. You know, that's that healing. You know, Benny Hinn and people like that. You know, these healing ministries going around to heal folks. You know, people lying, saying that they brought people back from the dead. My whole thing, and that, you know, that they've healed all these people, you know, with this circus that they, you know, take all over the world, and they're really pillaging over in Africa. They go to these poor countries, and they are really doing a job over there. But anyway, if these people possessed that type of skill or talent or power, if you will, then why aren't we dropping them off, you know, at these children hospitals and any of these, you know, hospitals that have terminal illness wings in which people are dying from HIV and AIDS and cancer and just a number of different things? Why aren't they there healing those people? Why aren't, I mean, they can apply for a government grant. So if they heal those people and totally heal them and take them off of Medicaid, Medicare, then that's going to save the government hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. Then why can't the government just give them 10% of that money that they save?
Yeah, I kind of asked somebody that too. Like, so you believe that God healed you of this malady. Man, well, why are you paying for health care? Because it would seem to me like you don't need it. You know, I mean, if you got supernatural health insurance, why do you need this high priced ass overpaid health insurance over here?
Oh yeah, really? You know, by his stripes are healed, right?
Right, right. You know, it's, you know, I mean, come on, you know, I mean, it's a trip. You know, I'm glad that we live in a day and age now that we have the ability to question this stuff. Couple hundred years ago, my ass would be on the stake burning.
Right. You and me both, you know. But this is why when I look at this and I just do a basic comparative analysis, and with the scripture that I just quoted to you, by his stripes, you know, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. Stripes meant back then is when he was hit with the whip, when they were whipping Jesus. So, for, you know, the stripes are the welts, you know, and, you know, the torn skin. And so for every time they hit Jesus, you know, and broke his skin, basically that was in the blood that flowed is supposed to be the blood, the healing blood, that's going to heal those that are sick out here. And it just takes me back to slavery days when they were, you know, basically, you know, beating the slaves and literally tearing the skin off their body. You know, that's all I can think of. I don't know if you saw The Passion of Christ, but when I saw that group, I was a Christian. You know, part of me was horrified that I paid money to see that much violence. And, you know, for those of you that know me, I don't do the movies too quick. Not for that. But sitting there and watching that, but then because I was trying to be a Christian, looking at it from a Christian perspective and saying he took all of that for me. But then, you know, part of me, you know, the inner child in me, you know, even the inner adult is like, but I didn't do anything. So why? You know, but even if I did something, you know, to me, violence is not the answer. So it's the whole thing. Just one clusterfuck.
What really will mess up your mind is when you think of, like, huh, really? So hold on a second. He's the son of a God and has supernatural powers and can expel demons and raise the dead, and knew that something funky was going to happen and allowed it to happen. So none of this really had to happen, though. I mean, you would think that if Superman, you know, has the ability, you know, Superman allowed himself to be captured, he could kill all these people if he wanted to, but there's a plan in the works that requires him to be killed. by being much more powerful than him. If the being is much more powerful than him and everybody who's killing him is just an ordinary human, then why is there a need to kill the more – why is there a need to kill the superior being in a, to appease a being more superior than him? That being doesn't even need to do this.
But especially when they're the same being, because some of them believe that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. So in essence, is he killing himself or is he committing suicide? Which one?
That's a hell of a question. Especially when you consider the fact that, you know, the whole chariot, you remember the iron chariot in scripture?
Oh, yeah.
And with, you know, apparently God is thwarted by a material he created, so I don't even, I want to hope that was a misinterpretation of the original script, because it makes no sense that you could be thwarted by something you created. Hey,
uh-huh.
Really, I mean, That was hilarious when I read that. I'm like, hold on, that's like Superman creating kryptonite and then being like, oh shit, I can't touch this stuff. You know?
Exactly. Oh yeah, exactly. You know that you know, the Iron Chariots one always used to get me, because it's like, funny how that works. He created all of these things, but yet he has no power against iron. I guess that was his kryptonite, right?
Right.
You know. You know, the whole thing is interesting. Another one, you know, that kind of goes against the prosperity gospel, if you will, is James 5:1-5. Again, James 5:1-5, and basically it's talking about the wealthy will be condemned by God. And it says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will, you know, consume your flesh like fire. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. They don't talk about that one. I've never heard that one in church.
Right. Yeah. I was reading that, and that's a pretty good scripture, because it really goes down. It really gets kind of deep into, you know, putting down people who are rich and everything. And I don't have the scripture pulled up, and I don't remember it verbatim, but it was something about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter heaven.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so it means that, you know, none of these prosperity people are going to go. And it's a trip, because I saw a video in which this person was getting it was a very expensive car. I want to say it's a Lexus or something like that, but it was a very expensive luxury vehicle that was being delivered to the house via a tow truck. And this is a very nice house, and you can tell it's a very nice neighborhood. And this is, and the person who's doing the video is saying, see, you know what I'm saying, pay your tithes or pray to God or something like that, and this is what you'll get. And it's like, well, I don't get that, because why would he find any value in this vehicle, for one thing? And number two is, now that she has it, the vehicle has depreciated in value.
Right.
And, I mean, it just, you know, I mean,
it was a thing.
They're thanking God for this right here, when there's probably somebody down the street who could have used the money that she put on that car. You know, is she the guy a damn Ford or something?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, that was a lowbrow preacher. You know, Alexis, oh, that's just child's play right there. You know, they've gone beyond the Maybach and, you know, the Rolls Royces and, you know, any vehicle, the Bentleys and all of that. You know, they've gone beyond, you know, the Lear Jets. They've gone beyond that. These guys, now the name of the game now is to own malls, banks, and credit unions. So, you know,
really?
That was probably a startup preacher right there with the Lexus. You know, Lexus are so 80s, you know, so.
Okay.
When you look at the game that's being played now, and,
right,
you know, the whole thing, you know, just looking at it, you know, in the proper perspective to, you know, again, this is a high-stakes game. And, you know, like I was talking before, you know, we've talked about this, about how it's a Ponzi scheme. It's a pyramid scheme. The people at the top make the money. Pay attention. The only people really, you know, making money is the pastor and the pastor's cronies and friends. So if the pastor endorses something, many of the church members will go to that particular person because they are in the pastor's good graces, and that's how they acquire wealth. But for every, let's just say, one of the dealership that that person went to was owned by one of the deacons of the church or the associate pastor, then when they sell a car to a church member, trust and believe that a percentage of that sale is going to go to the pastor. Just like when you buy the choir robes and different things from a specified tailor, a part of that money goes back into the pastor's pocket. I'm telling you, it's a pyramid scheme. It's pay up. You know, it's a top-down management style. And, you know, going back to something that we were talking about just a minute ago about the prosperity and all of that, again, we've told people back in during Bill Clinton, when he deregulated a lot of things, in particular, you know, the banking industry in which, you know, the way that they divvied out loans or gave mortgages out. Interesting, if you all go back and pay attention, quite a few people got into real estate at that time. They got into the real estate and they started selling real estate. Either they became brokers or real estate salespeople or mortgage brokers. And they made a lot of money. In some cases, it would be the pastor's wife or some of their children or what have you. Again, they got rich from all of that because it was deregulated. But then we had the housing bubble pop. And people in their congregations over the past 5-6 years, they've been losing their homes. So, again, where is the money going? Because the people that, you know, ascertained these, you know, homes and mortgages through people in the church, did the church come through when you told them that you fell behind on your mortgage? Did they come through when you told them that you lost your job for whatever reason? In some cases, yes. I know for a fact that there have been some churches and pastors that have helped their people, but others, not so much. And if they did help you in some cases, they made you sit down from the ministry. Why? Because you weren't being a good steward over your money, but yet, they're not talking about a lot of these churches that have been foreclosed on. And I've posted articles about this. But, you know, they're not being a good steward over the money that God allegedly entrusted to them. But yet you're penalized. But they're not. If they sit you down from the ministry because you weren't a good steward, why aren't they sitting down as pastor? Because they had a church that was paid for that, you know, the previous generations, you know, struggled to get the church paid off so that they will always have a place to stay. And they've had a building fund going on forever, and all the knobs are falling off the doors. But yet and still, in this competition game that they have going, they want a bigger, better church than their friend down the block. It's a competition thing. And there are some unfinished churches. I mean, I can name you several, but, you know, why aren't they sitting down?
Right, right. You know, you have, and it's probably, we're entering the second hour, so it's probably going to get, I'm probably going to get into a few more of the more heinous scriptures and some, you know, if you don't like that, you probably, well, that's probably going to entice you to listen anyway, so I'm just not going to say anything. You know, some of the scriptures that, you know, really kind of, really struck me pretty hard. Now, keep in mind, my understanding is that there's a powerful being out here who has laid down rules and a certain way of carrying things out. Nothing has to happen that doesn't need to happen. And, you know, and so when I'm reading something, let's say, where is it? Like, well, it's right here. 1 Samuel 15. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass. What, now, when I read that, there to me, and I'm not, now, there can be no way to take that out of context. It's saying go in there and lay waste to everything, even people who cannot attack you and do harm to you at all. An infant. Kill the infant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm reading. You know, so you know, I cannot imagine. So when I read somebody saying I'm blessed and highly favored, I'm thinking, what have you done to achieve such a high position versus a child or an infant or something like that? But I was like, wow. When I read that, that really struck a chord with me, because I'm like, well, isn't that kind of cold-blooded? I mean, the infants, man. I mean, they're babies.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that there's a reason.
Oh, of course. There's always, you know, a reason. You know, there's a reason for everything, you know. But, again, you know, we're taking it out of context. So, you know, that's how that
goes.
Yeah. But, you know, let's try this one right here. Ezekiel 16 and 17. And this is the NIV version. You also took the fine jewelry I gave you, the jewelry made of my gold and silver, and you made for yourself male idols and engaged in prostitution with them.
Right.
Well, how do you engage in prostitution with an idol?
Yeah.
How does that work? Or am I missing something?
I don't get it.
You know, I mean, was it a gold dildo? What was it? I mean, I mean, telephone number is 310-982-4273. Again, 310-982-4273, and you can press 1 to get through.
Right. Wow. You know, and anything that is, you know, any of these scriptures can be looked up at will. So, I mean, you know, all you have to do is look them up. You know, just look them up. And I'm pretty sure that there's somebody who can explain it, because I've been in debates with women who can explain why, you know, rape is not such a big deal. You know, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you have people out here, and again, this, you know, a lot of these scriptures and the Bible itself is subject to interpretation. That's the reason why you have so many different denominations out there. Because somebody, you know, conflicted with someone in regards to scripture. I mean, that's how we ended with the Catholic Church and then the Protestant Church, because, you know, the king wanted, you know, to be able to divorce his wife, and the Catholic Church did not condone divorce. So that's when the Protestant Church was formed, but secretly the king was still a Catholic.
Right.
So, you know, the whole thing, you know, is interesting. We just tell people to go and read the history of the Bible. If you read the history of the Bible, you know, that will kind of open your eyes, but actually read the Bible, you know, for, you know, itself. But here's another one. This is an interesting one. 1 Kings 12 and 10. 1 Kings 12 and 10. The young men who had grown up with him replied, "Tell these people who have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist.'" And what that means is his little finger is thicker than his father's penis.
Mm.
Right.
Damn, that's cold-blooded.
Oh, yeah, you know, church became a lot fun when I started discovering the cuss parts.
Right. Now, this is another one right here that's probably glossed over and whatnot, is Exodus 21, 2 through 6. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he is to serve for only 6 years. Set him free in the seventh year. He will owe you nothing for his freedom. If he was single when he became your slave and then married afterward, only he will go free in the seventh year. But if he was married before he became a slave, then his wife will be free with him. If his master gave him a wife while he was a slave, and they had sons and or daughters, then the man will be free in the seventh year, but his wife and children will still belong to his master. But the slave may plainly declare, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children. I would rather not go free. If he does this, his master must present him before God. Then his master must take him to the door and publicly pierce his ear with an awl, A-W-L. After that, the slave will belong to his master forever. So the way I'm looking at this is, you know, if he's by himself, he gets 7 years of slavery. I guess that's a cakewalk if he survives 7 years. If he was single before he became a slave and then married after he became a slave, only he will go free in the 7 years. That means he has to leave the woman that he married behind while he goes off and be free. But if he was married before he became a slave, then his wife can go with him. Okay, cool. I guess that doesn't work out so bad. I mean, 7 years of indentured servitude. I mean, with your wife and you can both leave, cool. But if his master that gave him the wife and they have a child, then he can go, but the wife and the kids have to stay. If he says to his master, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children, he can't go. They're all still his forever. Do not tell me that the Bible does not condone slavery.
The premise for Django. Wasn't that scripture the premise for Django?
Yeah.
Let me quit tripping. Ain't you on a single root? But now let me say. yeah, you know, it's just when you look at all of that and you put it in perspective and, you know, you compare it to, you know, what a lot of our ancestors had to deal with, and there are not enough words. There are not enough words because a lot of them had to deal with that. And so they use those scriptures and those scenarios to brainwash and to justify certain actions to the slaves in this country. You know, we won't even get into that because I posted an article today about some idiot that was saying that blacks were better off in slavery because we had free food and a place to stay. But anyway, you know, I'm not even going to get started because I'm not trying to have an aneurysm tonight. But, you know, you know, how they try to justify that. Now, you know, I've said on several occasions that some of the Christians that I know, and I use the word some, are some of the most beggingest people ever. I mean, beg for this, beg for that, beg for everything, you know, and you know, here's the scripture that kind of justifies some of their behavior. And that's the reason why I don't necessarily get angry with some of these people, because they're doing exactly what these scriptures tell them to do. But they don't. Many of them, you know, are putting together, you know, the connection. But over in Matthew 5 and 42, again, that's Matthew 5 and 42, it says, give to those who ask, and don't refuse those who wish to borrow from you. Give anything, basically they're telling you to give anything you have to anyone who asks you for something. And, you know, that's all good and well until you want to ask them for something, then all of a sudden now they got to pray about it, right?
Right.
I'm going to let the Spirit guide me. But, you know, that's when it comes to them. But, you know, when you want something or you want to borrow something, but when it comes to them asking you, you know, you're blessed to be a blessing, you know, and or they'll start with that manipulation thing. You know, you won't give to me, God don't take it all from you because you won't help me. You know, just, oh, I have so many examples of this. It's unreal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, don't refuse who wish to borrow from you. You know, you give them all of your stuff, but when they refuse to give to you, is because the Lord ain't moved their spirit to give it to you, and they prayed about it, and the Lord ain't answered them. The Spirit ain't got back to them yet. So, you know, you hold that thought, right?
Right. Right. You know, and once again, you know, you can read these for yourself at any time you want to. If you have a comment, just call in. 310-982-4273 to get through, and press 1, and you'll be on the line. And I don't try to be harsh or abrasive or anything like that. I don't mind having a simple discussion. I'm not trying to create any enemies, you know. So, you know, I don't have need of any enemies. So if, you know, if you want to have a civil discussion, let me know. This is one that you're probably not going to like, too. Let me see. I just lost my darn place. I totally just had it. There was a scripture I read, and I lost it. Something told me to write it down, but you know what happens when you tell yourself, I'll remember it, you don't.
Right. Oh, you know, so do you want to look it up and just let me go on with the scripture?
Oh, okay, I got one. All right.
There you go.
Thou shalt not suffer a rich with to live. When you read that scripture, after you read that scripture, Google the number of women who died in the Inquisition.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Inquisition and the Crusades. Look that up.
Right. Look that up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure that the number you're going to get is probably going to be a conservative number. It's probably going to be a conservative number, but you know it's going to be a high number.
Exactly. And you know, the whole thing again, you know, we just want you to go out and do some research and look this up for yourself. You know, we encourage people, read the Bible. Read the whole thing from the beginning to the end. You know, read the Bible. And, you know, you'll kind of get a better understanding of, you know, our position to a certain degree. Here's another fun one here. Luke 14 and 26. Again, Luke 14 and 26. And it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, he cannot be my disciple.
Damn.
So doesn't the scriptures tell you not to hate? But you got to hate everybody but God.
Right.
How does that work?
Wow. That's quite interesting. Yeah. I mean, because I thought that you're supposed to love thy brother and stuff like that.
Exactly.
I don't want, you know, and the thing is, I don't want to take, you know, I don't want to take religion away from anyone. There's no way to take religion away from anyone. Humankind has always had a need to believe in something. You know what I'm saying? That's why there have been, contrary to what you may believe, this isn't the only religion that has existed, and this probably won't be the only religion that will exist. You know, from what I've read, there have been over 3,000 gods so far. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I remember correctly, that's only counting from the creation of the written word by the Sumerians to now. There are over 40,000 different Christian denominations alone. That's not including Islam and all the other religions and all the other gods and stuff like that. You got a lot of people who believe a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? So there's no way, no matter how atheist I am, religion is going to die. It's not.
Right. Exactly.
So,
exactly. And we're not trying to eradicate religion either. Some people need it, and we want you to have it.
Right. But,
you know. So, you know, forgive us. Forgive me. But, you know, it's we just want people to be true to themselves. You know, definitely be true to themselves. I mean, if they're going to enforce, you know, religion, you know, they're trying to turn this country into a theocracy. And, you know, again, that's what we're fighting against. You know, many of us are just fighting for the separation of church and state.
Exactly.
You know, meaning that we don't want them making laws, you know, that are basically undergirded, you know, with these scriptures. If you want to believe, fine. Go ahead and believe these scriptures. Believe what you want to believe. Again, we're not trying to convert you or change your mind, but we don't want you all to force this down our throats either. Because, you know, here's another scripture for you. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to take you back to Leviticus 20 and 10. Leviticus 20 and 10, and it says here, and this is the NIV, the New International Version. It says, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. Be a whole bunch of damn dead folks.
Yeah. Exactly.
But nobody wants to talk about that.
Right. Right. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I mean, trust me, growing up and hearing the antics of the local pastors, man, there's a lot of dudes who have been executed. You know.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, and one thing I want to get out the way is when somebody tells me no sin is greater than the other. Now, sometimes when I use that because some people act like them not being gay, they have a license to pick on gays and put down gays and use the whole gays on an abomination thing and act like they have nothing going on that would be, you know, considered sinful. Remember, there are like, what, about 600? Different sins in the Bible, and if no sin is greater than the other, then you're screwed too. But if you want to say forgiveness, yeah, forget all that. But at the same time, you're telling me if you want to look at it this way, if no sin is greater than the other, then Hitler killing 6 million people, Jews, that's not including other people in casualties of the war, civilians and military and stuff like that, because that number is actually well over 6 million. But if you Hitler killing 6 million people is on the same line as you lying to your wife about going to the game. If
right.
No sin is greater than the other, then a lie to get out of work is on the same level as a massacre or an extermination of millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a bit unfair.
Right, exactly. Wow. You know, but again, you know, we just want people to go and look this up. And it's just so much to, you know, to go and to look into all of these things. And again, you know, I just want people to look into history and see how some of these scriptures compare to how people have been treated and how some people are still trying to justify the mistreatment of others, you know. And, you know, we just want people to wake up. And, you know, whether you believe in religion or not, you know, that's not my focus and that's not my goal. You know, I just want equality across the board, but also I don't want people going around and mistreating others in the name of religion and making a bad situation even worse for some of these people. Because, again, some of these people are desperate, you know, especially when they go to some of these other countries and even in this country, you know, dealing with people, you know, that are of a lower socioeconomic, you know, status. And what they do is they exploit that pain. They exploit that hope and that desperation and basically go back to the indulgences that the Catholic Church used to sell. They used to sell, you know, quote-unquote places in heaven, if you will. So you would buy an indulgence, and it was supposed to secure a place in heaven for you. That's what many of these churches, they're still doing the same things even now, you know, and they call it, you know, a blessing, if you will, and that, you know, if you bless the church and a pastor right now, in heaven you will be, you know, guaranteed a spot. It's the same thing. It's just all of this is recycled, is regurgitated, you know. Mm-hmm. And anyway, let's go back to the scriptures. You know, for you zombie fans out there, you got a good one here. You have Isaiah 26:19-20. Again, Isaiah 26:19-20. But your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead.
Mm.
And here's another one to go with it. Matthew 27:52-53. Again, Matthew 27:52-53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I think I'm going to listen to Thriller tonight. So, you know, the whole thing, you know, again, you know, there are a bunch of different scriptures out there, but, you know, many of these are ignored, you know, except for that last one that I gave you about the graves being opened and, you know, them rising from the dead. You know, a lot of churches do use that when they talk about, you know, after the resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, so it's interesting how all of that. You know, how they justify a lot of these.
Yeah. I just think it's cold-blooded, you know, when you think about, I mean, I can't help, you know, I have an overactive mind. I have to think about things. And when I read about scriptures, which include unnecessary death, you know, and stuff like that, you know, I have to ask, you know, wasn't there a better way to do this? Like, when I think about the angel of death thing, you know, saying killing the firstborn son of the pharaohs and stuff like that, and it's like, you know, this entire scenario could have been avoided if you'd killed the pharaoh. I mean, because, you know, I mean, what? I mean, you're killing children, because I'm imagining there's got to be a few firstborn sons that were actually the first, and like infants and babies and stuff like that, but that's cool, you know what I'm saying, it's necessary. If you just kill the pharaoh, maybe all of this whole chase through a sea, okay, you went through a sea. I mean, if you can part a body of water, I'm pretty sure you could kill the pharaoh, especially when you consider the fact that the pharaoh's army was decimated anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to impart the idea, well, he promised this land to these people. Well, Moses had to kill a whole bunch of them at the bottom of the mountain. And then on top of that, they wandered for 40 years. And then on top of that, they had to wage war against the people who were already living there. Who probably
right.
didn't know that that the land was already somebody else's. So,
eminent domain, that is fine. It's good.
Right. So, by the time you get done with this entire campaign, most of the people you save are dead. So,
right.
The only people that are living are probably their descendants. You know, and it just seemed like a really overly convoluted plan. That, you know, I mean. Kill the pharaoh and take that land. You can save yourself 100 years. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at that wrong. But
no, you're not looking at it wrong. I understand. You know, when they made it to the quote-unquote promised land, it was already occupied. So I guess those people were squatting on their promised land, right? And they had to implement an eminent domain to get their land back. And, you know,
right.
The whole thing, you know, when you look, it's interesting how Moses, got the Pharaoh to let his people go. And then because he got mad and threw some rocks at the people, then he couldn't go to the promised land. And so
right.
Joseph had to lead them into the promised land. And the whole thing, you know, wandering around in a circle. You know, for 40 years, nobody saw any landmarks. You know, that tree looks familiar. You know?
Right, right.
And the whole thing, you know, it was just interesting. But, I mean, I'll be the first one to admit, you know, out of tradition, I watch the Ten Commandments every year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, know? Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that.
You know, I particularly love the scene when he gets the rod and he parts the, you know, the sea. And it's like,
yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I remember that as a child, but, you know, again, we just want you all to see the kind of common sense and all of that. I mean, there are so many different scriptures. You know, you have the different contradictions in the Bible as well. You know, it says here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And you know the rest of the scripture. But in 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Well, you know, that'll boggle, a lot of stuff will boggle your mind when you try to think about it, you know, because I'll get knee deep into rationalizing some stuff, and then I'll be like, you know what, I'm going to probably drive myself crazy if I keep trying to think about this too much.
Right.
You know, if I keep trying to, you know, try to feel like, huh, okay, hold on. What? Now, hold on a second. Now, that does not make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
At
right.
all. Like,
exactly.
When you consider the fact that, you know, God said, let there be light prior to the creation of the sun, and, you know, you got to find yourself sitting there thinking, like, hold on. Where did he get light from?
Right.
But,
yeah,
you know,
where did that come from?
Yeah. You know, if we all started from two people, let's say Adam and Eve were both black, right? Now, I've heard two different things. One, this is how it actually happened. Two, this is only an allegory, or whatchamacallit. I can't even think of the word right now. So let's, you know, and because there are some people who actually do believe that the entire world began with Adam and Eve, despite the fact of finding Australopithecus and other hominids that date back millions and millions of years before that. I mean, you have bones, you have fossils, not like somebody can make that up, unless somebody actually does believe that Satan runs around dropping all prehistoric bones just for the hell of it.
Yeah, parables. You know, allegories and parables. Yeah, and you're right. You know, and some of them really do believe that. There was a status update on Christian Post yesterday, and they were talking about Adam and Eve, and they were asking if these people were real. And, of course, most of the answers were yes, and I was like, no. You know, most of these stories were taken from other religions. And then somebody says, well, we could reverse that and ask you or say that most of the stories from other religions were taken from the Bible. And I'm sitting there, and I just didn't, you know, first of all, I was tired of it. Well, I was under the weather, and I didn't feel like going back and forth with these people because it's an exercise of futility. Because even if I had put up there talking about Mithras and Osiris and, you know, all of these other people, many of them, it would have went straight over their head, and it would just would have turned into a debate, and I wasn't trying to trash, you know, their status.
Right,
state like
right.
That. That's not my thing.
Right.
But, yeah, the whole thing is interesting, and like I said, you know, sometimes when I get to talking to some of these believers, you know, and, you know, I'll say something like, well, you can read the Bible for yourself. You don't need someone to interpret it. They'll hit me with Romans 10:14, which says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And here's the kicker here. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You know, and you get that all the time. You know, you probably hear in house shows they hear without a preacher. And the answer to that, usually I get them with this, and, you know, it kind of ticks them off, but I'll come back with 1 John 2:27. And in 1 John 2:27, it says, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So basically what this is saying is you don't need a preacher. So
right.
All you know, a bunch of contradictions in there.
Right. Right. I just feel like, you know, there are some things that just really go down in here. Like, there are several scriptures in the Bible that specifically say that you can keep the women, the virgins. And if they're virgins, you can keep them. The rest of them, well, screw them. Just go ahead and do what you got to do with them, you know. And, you know, even when I see, you know, prophet, first of all, the most annoying thing to me is for somebody to proudly introduce themselves as prophet or prophetess. That's ridiculous. I hate that because, for one thing, you're not a prophet. You're somebody who read the Bible and figured out a way to get other people to think you're more important than what you are. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:34-35 says, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." What is the biggest demographic of the church, especially the black church? Black women, right?
Exactly.
Right. You know, when it comes, especially among the Christian religion, man, you know, women really do have it kind of, they have already had it kind of bad. I mean, it was through male dominance that you had women who weren't able to vote until, I mean, when was voting for women finally allowed?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until just after the beginning of the 1900s, you know what I'm saying, if I'm correct on that. And, you know, in which women, you know, especially, I guess, you know, religion really has owned this, is that women have been mostly, you know, vessels or I mean, I'm getting tongue-tied like a mug, man. What's going on?
Right.
9 out of 10, your marriage was arranged because that woman had a family that was wealthy or had great position. Marrying into that family was going to work out well for you. And
right.
If that woman did not produce a male heir, you know, it was her fault that the guy either couldn't have a child at all, or couldn't produce a male heir. It was the woman's fault.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
With her head. Right.
Right. So I mean, that's kind of a cold blooded thing, you know.
Oh yeah, you know, off with her head, and that's the reason why the king, you know, wanted to divorce, you know, some of the his wives because they were producing, you know, female heirs, and he wanted a male heir. And
right.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing is, you know, like I said, when you go back and you look at it, it's crazy because, I mean, you know, in our particular culture here in America, what do most people want? They want boys. You know, not that they don't cherish their little girls, but many of them want boys, you know, and are heralded, you know, in this patriarchal society. You know, in other countries or other places, like Puerto Rico, even though they're part of the United States, they just don't have statehood, if you will. Basically, they love the women. You know, it's more of a matriarchal, to a certain degree, you know, society, because, you know, there's still a lot of patriarchy in that, you know, in Puerto Rico on that island as well. So it's just the whole thing is interesting, just looking at a lot of these different things from a lot of different perspectives. But the Bible has been used to justify the mistreatment of many, many, and we're just trying to bring that to light.
Yeah. You know, it's, a lot of stuff needs to be read. And, you know, I myself do not believe in a God, you know, but there are people who do believe in a God. And if you're going to ask me why I don't believe in God, I guess the first place to start will be the Bible. you know, and inevitably there's going to be somebody who's going to attempt to explain all this stuff, and you know, I'm not going for it because it's like, you know, I'm not stupid by any means. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a person who finds things hard to comprehend. You know, as many scriptures as there are in the Bible, I cannot be taking all of these out of context now.
Right.
Especially
exactly.
If all you have to do is read them.
Mm-hmm. You know, if all you have to do is read them and, you know, look at them and, you know, again, try to find the correlation, try to find the significance of them. Like I said, you know, we encourage you to go and read it. Read it for yourself. You know, you can contact me, blackfreethinkers@gmail.com. You hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. You know, if you have a question for Mario, you can send it to me or, you know, however, if you're Facebook friends with him, hit him up. And, you know, we'll be happy, you know, to address it. You know, I get questions all the time, you know, about different things. But, again, you know, go out there, read up, and, you know, keep it moving. You know, educate yourself. That's exactly, you know, what we want you to do. We want you to educate yourself.
Right. Right. And this is, you know, this is some of the things I was talking about, you know. All right, Joshua 8, and starts off with obviously going to start off with 1. But anyway, then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid or discouraged. Take the entire army and attack Ai. So, you know, for I have given to you the king of Ai, I guess that's how you pronounce that, Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king, but this time you may keep the captured goods and the cattle for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city." So Joshua and his army of Israel set out to attack Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 fighting men and sent them out at the night. With these orders, hide in ambush close to the city and be ready for action. When our main army attacks, the men of Ai will come out to fight as they did before. We will run away from them. We will let them chase us until they have fled the city. That's a pretty dang long thing. I ain't going to read all that. But basically, they destroyed everything. You know? You know, for Joshua kept holding out to his spear until everyone who had lived in Ai was completely destroyed. Only the cattle and the treasures in the city of the city were not destroyed, for the Israelites kept these for themselves as the Lord had commanded. I thought, you know, stealing was a crime. But, you know, I guess it's not, depending on who you stole from. You know, and you know, I just, you know, I'm not going to keep prattling on. I mean, you know, basically, we've given you plenty of scriptures that you can read over yourself. I mean, you can look over this and you can decide for yourself what you want to believe, what you want to accept, and how you want to interpret it. If you need to be further explained and, you know, outside of a context, I'm pretty sure there's somebody out there who can rationalize this. There's a guy who believes that a hurricane was sent because America was starting to be more obsessed than the gays. Never mind the fact that there were 400 years of slavery. I guess God was cool with that, but, you know, I guess he could have been.
Well, you know, they were being generous. They were being benevolent because, again, we had free food, a free place to stay, and, you know, jobs were guaranteed.
Right.
You know,
right.
And if we were healthy, you know, they found us a nice husband or a wife to breed them 10, 15, 20 children. You know, all these, you know, nice women with their childbearing hips, right?
Right, right. And, you know, and I guess that, you know, I guess we said about all we could say about the subject. You know, there's a laundry list of scriptures. You can check out the Evil Bible, the Skeptics Annotated Bible, and several other scriptures, you know, I mean, other sites that actually kind of set these up a lot better, you know. and they really get very detailed in them. And the big, good thing about it is because this is the internet, you can look these up. You can look these scriptures up. They're in the Bible. You can look them up, no problem, at your leisure. You know, and it's up to you. You know, anybody can. With that being said, I'll let Kim go ahead and tell you what's coming up in upcoming shows in the next coming weeks and everything. I may be out of town in a couple weeks, so that I may not have a show 2 weeks from now, but we'll see, you know. Kim, what's up?
Hey, well, for those of you out there who are praying for me, my laundry detergent no longer smells like Schlitz. So I'm grateful. I think my I was having a temporary malfunction of my medication, but it has since, you know, since you prayed for me, it has fixed itself. Thank you, Jeebus. Thank his noodly appendage. But on Sunday's show, we're going to be talking about it's okay to not believe. And it really is okay if you don't believe. I'm going to define some terminology, define what an agnostic is, define what an atheist is, a freethinker, humanist, you know, just some of the basic terminology, and again, some basic, very basic definitions, and, you know, give you some stats about, you know, the country, this direction, what the direction this country is going in regarding to the nuns and the non-believers and how we're growing. And so, you know, if people want to call in, they can call in and talk about, you know, their experience. Again, those that have left, they can give their leftimonials, what have you. But that's what's coming up. And, you know, I have several other shows coming up. One is going to be talking about Christianity and let me see, there's a few of them. But I know we're going to be talking about homophobia and masculinity, and we're going to be talking about patriarchy and a few other things. So, you know, you can go up there and take a look. But I think I'm going to end up doing a show, and I'm still debating about this, but doing a show about agnostic versus atheist. And what I mean by that is explaining the difference between two and trying to understand why it's such a battle in our own community, why people call themselves agnostic or call themselves an atheist. And, you know, for the life of me, I don't understand why it's such a battle. Who cares if they call themselves an agnostic? Who cares if they call themselves a believer? Who cares if they call themselves a freethinker or a non-believer or a nun or whatever? Who, I mean, you focus on you. Why are you so
fixated
on someone else? Go ahead, hon.
I might call in on that show, because that right there annoys me, man. I don't understand how you got to, you know, so you get through berating believers for trying to get you to believe what they believe, and then you want to berate somebody who is an agnostic to get them to not believe what you don't believe. And
exactly.
It seems to be hypocritical
exactly.
to me.
So, you know, we're going to end up doing a show about that, you know, the next three shows I have up, and then, you know, I'm going to start planning and how I'm going to bring in some guests soon, and so that's what I'm trying to get situated before I even set up for April. So that's coming up next, but I look forward to talking to you guys Sunday. If you missed William and Dragnet's show, you know, this past Tuesday, you missed a good show, go and take a listen to it. And, you know, Raina's show last Saturday, fantastic show. And our Sunday show, YOLO, and, you know, some of the pathology of, you know, some of the religious thinking and all of that, wonderful show. But Sunday's show, It's Okay Not to Believe, I think it's going to be a fun show. So call in if you can.
All righty. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and tune it out on a little bit early. Like I said, we've said all we need to say, and the rest is up to you. So with all that in mind, enjoy your weekend, enjoy the rest of your night, be safe, and we'll see you next time.
Good night. We'll be right back.
Black free thinkers, where we walk by sight with a bright flashlight to illuminate night. Free thoughts, we don't walk by faith, and the lost mind space is not quite safe. We don't recruit, we're not peers from a church, so don't be spooked, we're not here to convert. The only truth that's not pulled from a text, show me proof that's not good after death. This is the challenge to think for yourself, bring it out of the bottle and speak what you felt. 310-982-4273 to get through, a venue for community, and this is the zone. If you'd like to speak with Kim, then pick up the phone. 310-982-4273 to get through. The next tree branch is Rainer, and it's best you listen to reason, science, and skepticism. It's loaded with straight facts, inspiring and dope. She can make Bill Nye retire his lab coat. Humans are hilarious, and every other Friday I'd like to hear commentary on culture, people. So I hit up Super Mario and bring in Emmeline to discuss why we're capable of ultra evil. It's normal for my brain to have a two-way street, but if there's collisions, well then you got to just mention it. And don't be afraid of where the truth may lead, ignoring your position of cognitive dissonance. When Father Teresa preaches, it's hard to stop. So Kim paired me up with Alfred in the barbershop. I have a spin family and all these places now, as the free thought tree pollinates around. Yeah. This is the challenge to think for yourself. Break it out of the bottle and speak what you felt. 310-982-4273 to get through. A venue for community, and this is the zone. If you'd like to speak with Kim, then pick up the phone. 310-982-4273 to get through. Black briefing, where we walk by sight with a bright flashlight to illuminate night. We don't walk by faith in a lost mind state, 'cause it's not quite safe.